Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today. We are really thrilled to see what God is doing. He's working in a powerful, powerful way. And early this morning, I was up praying for you and praying for the members of our church and those who are in the Greater Hampton Roads community. We have a dynamic prayer group, 5 a.m. every Thursday morning we pray. And we pray from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And it's called, really, an hour of power as we lift up the requests that are emailed into us and given to us by our church family. You are welcome to send a prayer request into me anytime, and I promise you that we will pray for you. If you would just send me an email, hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org, hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org, and we'll pray for you on Thursday morning, and I can return your email if you send that to me. And I'm so glad that you're listening today, and we're really excited about this series that we've been going through. And I want to begin the broadcast today by sharing just a few things that I think will help you. These are five daily routines that I think will help you. We've been going through the book of Philippians, and that is the book of joy written by Paul as he's under house arrest in a Roman facility. And as you think about the whole subject of daily routines, your habits will make you, and if you have good habits, good things can happen. Philippians 3:1 says, whatever happens, and Paul writes this, rejoice in the Lord. So here's habit number one, relax in God's grace. Philippians 3:3 in the Living Bible translation says, we Christians glory in what Christ Jesus has done for us and realize that we are helpless to save ourselves. Philippians 3:3 in a Message translation says, we couldn't carry this off by our own efforts and we know it. So relax in God's grace. God's got everything under control. You may be sitting in the traffic and say, man, I wish I could move this traffic along a little quicker, but I want you to know, rest in God's grace. He has got that in control. We have a struggle with this, I know, and the struggle is what I would call legalism. And I don't know what your background is like, but I was raised in what I would consider a somewhat legalistic type of church, where we had a rule for everything. And I remember one Saturday, I was out on bus visitation, and I was trying to invite people to come to church. We had a bus that would go out and pick up the kids. We'd go visit on Saturday morning, and then we'd bring them out of church on Sunday morning. And I remember one Saturday morning, I'm out there sitting in the car with a bunch of us that are out visiting. And the guy who brought us on this visitation expedition turned around and looked at me and says, hey, Calvin, he said, what you do with the money? And I'm like, what money? You didn't give me any money. He says, what you do with the money I gave you for a haircut? Man, your hair's too long. And I remember feeling so dejected. And I'm like, my hair's too long. It's touching my collar. It's halfway over my ear. But in his opinion, my hair was too long. What was that struggle is? That struggle is legalism. You know, you can be legalistic about rituals and race and religion and rules and reputation. You can live by grace, but we ought to become more gracious as we walk with the Lord. Philippians 3:6 in the Good News translation says, as far as a person can be righteous by obeying the commands of the law, I was without fault. Paul says, if you want to look at my life, I was a legalist. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a teacher. He was a rabbi, and he could live by the law. And he says, man, I kept the law, but he realized that that wasn't going to bring about salvation. In Philippians 3:9, it tells us that he could no longer count his own righteousness by obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous, and get this, through faith in Christ. It's not faith in what I can do, it's faith in Christ, for God's ways of making us right with himself depends on faith. And Paul later on tells us in Romans chapter 10, I think it's verse 17, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So begin each day relaxing in God's grace. Are you going to make mistakes today? Yes, you will. You can't go 24 hours without making a mistake, without falling into sin. So relax in God's grace. I'm not saying we go out and sin more so that we can have more of God's grace. Paul addresses that very clearly in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. He says, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Rest in God's grace. Don't be an abuser of God's grace or a disgrace to grace, but realize that God's grace is sufficient. Here's the second habit I think you should develop. Think about what happens and what matters most today. What's the most important thing that's going to happen to me today? Philippians 3:7, New Century Version says, those things were important to me, but now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Paul is saying, those things that I used to hold dear, all of my education, all of my influence, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, being a rabbi, being a teacher of the law, all those things he thought were extremely important. However, they're not compared to what Christ has done for us. What is the struggle with this one? The struggle is that we live in a culture that doesn't follow this script. Our biggest joy thieves are life's little griefs, the little things. You know, it's not the big problems that set me back. It's that little pebble in my shoe that sets me back. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3, and this is the New Living Translation. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Here's the third daily habit that we ought to have. We said you ought to have that habit of relaxing in God's grace. We ought to have that habit about thinking about what matters most today, and that is pleasing Christ. And then number three, every day, relentlessly pursue Jesus. In the Good News Translation, Philippians 3, Paul says, verse 10, all I want to know is Christ, and to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself may be raised from the dead. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to experience that power. That same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that he wanted and he knew he would have if he knew Christ. But there is a catch here. Paul added that he wanted to share in his sufferings. In our Wednesday Night Gospel Project Bible study, we talked about suffering and why we suffer. We talked about suffering for righteousness' sake. We talked about suffering for unrighteousness' sake. I don't know about you, but I'd rather suffer for doing the right thing than suffer for doing the wrong thing. Paul realized that he was in a relentless pursuit of Christ. He made this a habit every single day. I love how the Amplified version of Philippians 3:10 puts it. He says, that I may know him, that is, that I may progressively become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person, and strongly and more clearly becoming like him. So here we see that this is a doctrine of sanctification. Being holy. What is a holy person? A holy person is one that looks like Jesus, that knows Jesus, not only knows about him intellectually, but lives like Jesus. Now, there's a struggle in living relentlessly like Jesus and having this pursuit of him, and that is business. Life happens. Business happens. Things come into our lives that keep us speeding ahead. You ever feel like you're running and your legs are spinning and you're getting no traction? It's kind of like driving in the snow. I learned many years ago driving in the snow is if I begin to get stuck, the worst thing I can do is mash on the accelerator. Because if I smash that accelerator, my wheels are just going to spin and spin and spin, and I'm going to go nowhere fast. But if I can lay off that accelerator just a little bit and let those tires start to grip, I will slowly pull out of that snowdrift. The same is true in our lives. So many times we get so busy and we think, well, the solution to this problem is to hurry up and get more done, put more on our schedule. But the Bible tells us, and I love this, Psalm 46:10, be still. Be still and know that I am God. In those still moments, as you're sitting in traffic, that is a perfect time to know God. He slows us down sometimes so that we can know him. Well, here's the fourth habit I think that we've got to have in our lives. If we really want to have a time of joy in our lives, is we need to review where I need to grow. This is like a self-inventory. In Philippians 12, it says, I don't mean to say that I'm perfect. And Paul's saying, as I look at myself, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm perfect. I don't have it all together. I haven't learned everything that I should yet, but I keep working toward that goal that I will finally be like Christ, because I know that Christ saved me for what he wants me to be. He says, no, my dear brothers, I am still not all that I should be. Do you remember hearing that expression, I'm not all that I should be, but thank God I'm not all that I used to be. We all are a piece of work in progress. Paul put it this way in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work, that's Christ, who began a good work in us, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What is the struggle with this one? The struggle is pride. James tells us that we ought to test ourselves to make sure that we are solid in the faith. He says, don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves to regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not merely hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. James 4:6 talks about pride coming before destruction. James talks about the fact that this must be dealt with. In the passage I just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, out of the Message translation, Paul reminded himself that he had to check himself. He had to make sure that his motives were pure, make sure that his life was solid in the faith, and that he wasn't drifting. You know, if you're on the highway today, they have these wonderful things on the side of the road called these rumble strips. I don't know if you have noticed this, but nobody tends to drift in the right direction. They put those rumble strips on the side of the highway so that when we're not paying attention or we're starting to doze off as we're driving, that will alert us, that will test us to make sure that we can get back on track. Paul said the same thing. He was testing himself, making sure that he was where he needed to be. Well, here's the fifth habit, is forget the past, focus on the future. Paul put it this way, Philippians chapter 3, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and I receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Well, I think there's three things that kind of hold us back from pressing on. Number one, I would say, is regret. We look at our lives and say, man, I regret so many things in my past, and I can't believe I wasted so many years doing things I shouldn't be doing. Listen, we all have regrets. I remember one time I was coming home for a college graduation. A friend of mine was getting ready to graduate from college, and he asked me if I'd come to his graduation. And since we were longtime friends, I said, I'd be happy to do that. And in order for me to do that, I had to double up on my finals and get my finals done so I could leave a day earlier than I had planned so I could make it in time for that graduation. Well, I remember as I was doing my studying and doubling up on my finals, I said, I'm going to stay up all night and I'm going to study. So I stayed up all night, took two finals, and then I was going to drive all night to get to my friend's graduation. So I was going to go 3 days and 2 nights without sleep. I thought I was Superman, right? I don't need any sleep. I was young and I was ambitious and I had a lot of energy. I said, I'll be all right. I'll catch a nap after the graduation. Well, you know, I was driving from Lynchburg, Virginia to Massachusetts, and somewhere along Interstate 95 in Attleboro, Massachusetts, I fell asleep driving. And that was back in the day where very few people had cell phones. Miraculously, however, there was a man following me, saw me veer off the road, hit a guardrail, go up and down a 150-foot embankment, rolling down to the bottom of a basin. He quickly called 911. The ambulance was there. Thankfully, I was within 5 minutes of this sturdy Memorial Hospital in Attleboro, Massachusetts. And God, by his grace, allowed me to be at the right place at the right time. And I think about regret. I so regretted I did that. I said, that was a foolish thing to do. Thinking I could go 2 nights and 3 days without sleep. I must have lost my mind. That was a major lapse of judgment. I regret I did that. I broke my back, collapsed my lungs, knocked out 2 teeth. But you know, in spite of regrets in our lives, God can take those regrets and turn them into something good. And I remember it was that next fall that I met my wife. And I was working at Liberty University Bookstore. And as I was working in that setting, I knew that my wife was praying for me. We had some mutual friends, but I had never met her. And she met me there at the bookstore. I was in a body cast, no front teeth. And she fell in love with me, love at first sight. And the rest is history. We've been married now over 30 years. And what a blessing it was that God takes a regret in my life and uses it to be a blessing to somebody else and brings the right person into my life. Another thing I think that holds us back is that we resent what happens. Not only do we regret our past, but we resent what happens, what people have done to us. Listen, God never, never wastes a hurt. Has somebody hurt you today? Welcome to humanity. Life is filled with hurts. Listen, we hurt people all the time. Sometimes we mean to hurt people. Sometimes we don't mean to hurt people. Hurt is a part of life, but resentment is a choice. You don't have to resent people that hurt you. You can let it go. Forgive them. Release them of that. The last thing I think that will keep us from forgetting the past is sometimes we get stuck in a rut. Somebody put it like this. A rut is an open casket. That's all it is. We're stuck in a rut. It's kind of like driving again in the snow, and you get in a rut. And there was a sign, I think it was up in Alaska, and there was snow-ridden roads that says, be careful the rut that you choose. You're going to be in this rut for the next 100 miles. You have a choice. You don't have to stay in a rut. God doesn't want us being in a rut. He wants us to be set free. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, Isaiah the prophet put it this way, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am here doing a new thing. Well, I'm happy to tell you this morning, God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in your life, and He wants to change you radically. Our Habits of Joy series that we're going through is today talking about living a clean life. I think that part of living a clean life is rejoicing in the Lord. We're in Philippians chapter 3, but I want to take a passage in Philippians 4, verse 7, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Now, I left out something in that verse. The previous verse says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Paul says, if you do this, you're going to experience God's peace, which is more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Some translations will say it's that peace that transcends or passes all understanding. You know that word rejoice. I love that word rejoice. My mom's name is Joyce, and that is a shorter form of the word rejoice. And oftentimes, people with the name Joyce are called Joy or Rejoice. 154 times that word rejoice is used in the Bible. Well, how can we live a life that is filled with joy? Well, here's a couple things I want to give you quickly as we get near the end of our broadcast today. Number one, avoid evil. Avoid evil and rejoice in what is good. As you think about doing things that are acceptable to God, we are told to rejoice in the Lord. Paul writes that he's writing these things unto the church at Philippi, and he says, it's no trouble for me to say this. It is safe for you. And he goes by and he says, you are part of the circumcision who serve God by spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh, but rejoicing in what is good. Here's the second thing that Paul talks about and how we can overcome evil through rejoicing. Put our confidence in Christ, not our credentials. Now, there's nothing wrong with having credentials. I think it's important that we get as much education as we can and can as much education as we can get. But we are told that we're not to put our confidence in our credentials. You see, self-exaltation will rob us of our joy. It's a cheap imitation of the real thing. Joy doesn't come from what I accomplish. Joy comes from who I am in Christ. I'm acceptable because not of my accomplishments. That would be legalism. That robs me of my joy. I am accepted in Christ because of His approval of me through what He has done in my life. Paul says he had counted everything that he'd done prior to knowing Christ as rubbish. Some translations even use that word dung, like that nasty rubbish. And he says, no, forget all that. I'm looking at a future that is a blessing from God because of what He has done for us. The third point that I want to share with you briefly today is that we are to keep on pressing. Failure doesn't have to define us. Listen, you're going to have failure in your life. You're going to have setbacks in your life. People are going to hurt you in life. Failure can rob you of your joy if you focus on failure. Failure teaches us valuable lessons. I think one of the most valuable lessons that we learn from failure is how not to do something. But if you look at failure, Paul says, I'm going to press on. I'm going to give it all that I have. I realize I'm not perfect. I'm still going to fall short, but I'm going to press on because of what Jesus Christ has made in me. He says, I don't want you to think that I've already made it on my own. He says, the way I press on is I forget the past and I push on to the future. So here's an understanding that we must have of failure. Failure is not fatal. Failure should be our teacher, but not our undertaker. It should challenge us to new heights of accomplishments, not pull us to new depths of despair. From honest failure can come valuable experience. One person who I don't know who said this, but said, mistakes are the stepping stones that lead to future accomplishments. Keep pressing on in the right direction, forgetting the past. Somebody said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift from God, which is why we call it the present. Today is a present to you from God. We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of our past. Here's the fourth thing, if you want to live in joy today, live out what you already know inside. Most of us are well-educated beyond what we are living. Most of us know more about God's word than we're actually living out in our day-to-day existence. Paul put it this way, Philippians 4:15, he says, let those who are mature think this way. How do we think as mature believers? We think on things that are true and noble and honest. We think on things that are praiseworthy. As you think about how God can bless you, I have one final point that I'm going to give to you real quick, and that is when frustrated, keep the end in mind. Life is filled with frustrations. Keep the end in mind. Good things are going to come. We learned last night in our study that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purposes. So, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives to us. We pray that we go in your peace that transcends all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.